Welcome back to our study of 2 Thessalonians. We are in chapter 2, and at the end of last session, we read verse 3, and we're going to pick up in that same vein and start.
I went into the office and pulled some things up on the internet a while ago to try to get a little more accurate, and I don't know where that guy got his information from, but in 2020, they did a poll survey. And what they call Generation Z, 60% do not go to church in the Generation Z. Now, remember, this is 2020. That's before they started shutting down the church services and all that. So I'm sure that percent is different today. Another amazing stat that I saw was, now remember, 2020, that 50 years prior to that, 90% of Americans professed Christianity. In 2020, only 64% of Americans professed Christianity. Isn't that amazing? You look at the decline. Mm-hmm. And the fastest growing religion in the world is Islam, if you didn't know that. You want to tell me there's not a falling away, that there's not a defecting from the truth? We're seeing it right before our eyes. People see no need of going to church. And I was thinking a while ago about that very thing. If you're a Christian, why would you not want to subject yourself to things of God? And so you don't go to church. Are you subjecting yourself to things of God at home? I can answer that for you. No. And so what happens? Satan gets more and more foothold in people's life and gets you doubting this, doubting that, not believing this, not believing that. To the point that I've heard people brought up in church to say, I don't even know if there is a God. Defecting from the truth. You understand? We're not living in the time period of Thessalonians. We're a whole lot farther down the road than they were. And we're seeing things unfold right before our eyes. And if you didn't have your hope, your expectation in the Lord Jesus Christ, it would be enough to scare you. Men's hearts failing them for fear. That you and I have a hope, an expectation that will keep our souls anchored right on course, not drifting away from the Lord.
Verse 4. Remember the end of verse 3, that the man of sin would be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Now, the man of sin, this, there's a lot of sinners out here, okay? No, what he's talking about is what we would commonly call the Antichrist. This is a person that sets him up and takes pride in being the chief of the sinners, if I can say it that way, and sets himself up as God. Not only does he oppose God, that's one thing, but to set yourself up as like you are God, to take the place of God, then that's a whole different ball game. And the amazing thing about this is how people are falling for this. They're not seeing this. And you look at what people watch all the time, the media. They exalt themselves above God. They're Antichrist. Mm-hmm. Any way you want to look at it, they're Antichrist. And yet people are glued to that. They're addicted to that. that spirit is controlling them, and they don't even know it's controlling them. That's the sad part. So they'll believe a lie, but they won't believe the Bible. They won't believe the truth of God's Word. Okay? And so he talks about this man of sin, and he exalting himself above everything that's God or that is worship. Now note this, so he, as God, sits in the temple of God, exhibiting himself to be God. That's not far off. There's some already doing that. I saw something not too long ago on the internet. Some guy was saying he's God. This one's Christ, and this, that, and the other. It's an antichrist spirit. I'm a child of God. Jesus lives in me, but I'm not God. And neither are you, nor any other man. You understand? God don't die. Men do. But it is interesting how wicked men live longer than righteous men. And so they think that they've got all this stuff figured out, to where they're going to have that fountain of youth or whatever and never die. But I have news for you. It's appointed unto men once to die. And if you're a human being, you're not going to escape that. Even in the rapture, you're going to go through it. If you're a believer, you're going to go through that metamorphosis, so that mortal and corruptible is going to die out. Mm-hmm. Okay? But this spirit is prevalent in the world today. And I'm telling you, the colleges have been infiltrated by the spirit in religion and philosophy, to where the professors are priding themselves in being atheists, defying and denying the God who created them. And you know what's happening? You produce after your own kind. Mm. And so when you sit under that type of environment, you become a victim of that environment. Do you know that everybody in this room is a product of your environment? Your environment has influenced you. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent. Your environment is mine, has influenced me. Now, the beauty of this is I've changed my environment along the way. And so if you've been truly born again, you change your environment. And so now you have another environment putting into your life. It's called the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And God is wanting us to become products of the Word and the Spirit, not products of the world. And we can't afford to be subjecting ourselves to these ungodly things, these antichrist spirits that are all around us. John said, try the spirit. They're already in the world. They were in the world in John's day. They're certainly in the world in our day. False prophets. False teachers. But boy, they look good and sound good. I mean, that wolf has that sheep's clothing down to a science. He can look just like a minister of righteousness. And people are falling for it on a regular basis, hook, line, and sinker. Not even knowing and subjecting themselves to this antichrist spirit.
Verse 5. Remember you not that when I was with you, was yet with you, I told you these things?
Now you think about this. Paul's writing a letter here, but he says, when I was with you guys in Thessalonica, I told you these things back then. And now he's just simply reiterating what he's already taught them verbally.
And now you know what withholds that he might be revealed in his time.
Okay, withholds or restrains. You know what's restraining that he might be revealed in his time. In other words, there's something that is restraining or suppressing or keeping the Antichrist from coming forth in full manifestation. I wonder what that would be. Could it possibly be truth? It's keeping him suppressed. And see, here's the thing. Truth will counter a lie. We have heard more lies in the last 2 years than you could count in a lifetime. One lie after another lie after another lie. Now, here's the sad part. People are believing the lie. But people of truth, the spirit of truth in you, lets you know that that's a lie immediately when it starts speaking. Or the word of truth says that does not agree with the scripture, so it can't be true. You follow me? And I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to start paying attention to truth. That'll keep that spirit from influencing you. We'll go on reading here.
For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now lets will let until he is taken out of the way.
Now, there's some words here that we're going to change just a little bit. The mystery, which is a secret. This says of iniquity, actually says talking about illegal, something that's illegal. Is already active. It's going to be whatever is, if this says letteth, only he who now lets, it's actually suppressing or preventing, will suppress it until whatever this suppressor is taken out of the way. And so what is it that is keeping the Antichrist from being fully revealed at this time? It's truth. Now, where does truth come from? It comes from the word of truth. It comes from the spirit of truth. Only the body of Christ embraces the word of truth and the spirit of truth. And when you take the body that promotes the truth out of the way, then he can be revealed. I don't think people have a clue as how the body of Christ has things governed right now to keep all hell from breaking loose on earth, because there's still an element of truth that's going forth. It's a remnant. You understand? It's a remnant of people. But that remnant of people is keeping things suppressed right now. That's why the United States is not already under total communism. It's under socialism already. You can call it anything you want to, but it's obvious as a nose on your face. Unless you've believed the lie. So what happens if you just take away all truth? I was talking to someone this week. Who can you find in the business world that you can trust? People of integrity. And we'll go to you another one. How many can you find in the church that you could trust with your life, people of integrity? Now, I can tell you right now, I don't know many ministers that I would trust with my eternal life. I'm hearing too much stuff that's not agreeing with the Word of God. It's not agreeing with the Spirit of God. This thing is more serious than anybody realizes. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to get truth to the forefront and keep this suppressed until we're taken out of here. Mm-hmm. And I'm digging harder than ever. I mean, I'm applying myself to know truth, to know it. I don't want to be deceived. And it's work to know truth. Because you have to dig through all the garbage to get to the truth. There's so many lies out here coming from so many different directions. So many lies coming out of the pulpit. So many lies coming from every avenue of religion, through books, movies, whatever. You're getting all this stuff. You've got to dig deep to know the truth. And a lot of people say it's not worth it. That's why you've seen such a dramatic decline in the United States of America that was one time very vocal that it was a Christian nation. And today it even denies, the leadership even denies being a Christian nation. And trying its best to get the Antichrist in control. You better let your light shine while it's day. The night's coming when no one will work. We can't work. The light will be taken away. And then the world will be without hope. Right now we are offering hope through Jesus Christ. And so we need to take our revelation, our understanding, our salvation that's been granted unto us. We need to take this seriously and stand up and be counted for the Lord Jesus Christ.
And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
Okay. Once that restraint is taken away, then that wicked one is going to be revealed, be manifested, unveiled. But here's what his destiny is. His sentence is already pronounced. He's going to be destroyed with the breath of God's mouth. You understand? He thinks he's God. He presents himself as God. But all God's got to do is, and he's gone. You better respect the God who gives you the breath you breathe. You understand? Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a major fight and a tug of war. When it's time, God will take him out in an instant. You understand, this wicked one, with the spirit of his mouth, or the breath of his mouth, and will destroy this says brightness, but actually the manifestation, or he'll do it with the manifestation of his coming. When Jesus makes his advent, when Jesus appears, then he's going to put the Antichrist out. Okay? But the Antichrist can't be revealed until the restrainer is removed. And I personally believe the restrainer is the church that houses the Word and Spirit of God. When I say church, I'm not talking about buildings. I'm talking about ecclesia. I'm talking about people who are sold out to God. The separate ones. That holy generation. You understand? Chosen generation, holy nation, peculiar people. Why are we peculiar? We walk in truth. That will make you peculiar this day and time.
Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders.
Now here's the thing about it. This Antichrist, you're going to see, you're not, I hope, but people are going to see power. Satan has power. I've heard people say Satan doesn't have any power. Well, that's a lie. Satan doesn't have authority unless one gives him authority. But when you take the body of Christ out, then all these perverts that are following him will yield their authority to him, so he has a free reign. And he'll do supernatural things. He'll do signs and lying wonders and all this. I mean, you can look at the Revelation. He can overpower the saints and all these type things, you know, that he's done in the past when everything's out of the way. Demons can take over people's lives. You tell me they don't have power? When they can alter your personality, you telling me they don't have power? But they couldn't have gotten there if you did not authorize it. Well, how did I authorize it? By submitting to suggestions. Mm. Not one big suggestion, little suggestions along the way. And as you submit to this, it gets a foothold in, and then a stronger hold, and a stronger hold, and a stronger hold. To the point that people become totally possessed. And boy, you're seeing that really running rampant in the drug world. How's he doing it? It's an appeal. I'm going to put you on the high. I'm going to make you feel good. And then I'm going to control your life. And that's what he does. Just one of the ways.
Verse 10. And with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved.
Now I want you to note this. He does this with lying wonders and with all deceivableness, delusions. Note of the unrighteous, those who are perishing because they didn't accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior.
Mm.
So that's who's believing this. That's who's deceiving. Because, note this, because they did not receive the love of truth that they might be saved. Mm-hmm. And because they didn't receive the love of truth, here they are now totally subjected to the manifestation of Antichrist. And he's going to eat their lunch.
Mm-hmm.
As the old saying goes. You understand where I'm coming from. Okay? How's he going to do it? Deceit. Deceit. That's why truth's so important. That's why it's so important to have and know the spirit of truth living on the inside of you. You can't deceive truth. But you can listen to a lie even if you have truth in you. That's why you shouldn't be entertaining lies. You shouldn't be entertaining deception. You should not subject yourself to people who do not tell the truth. I don't care what their position is. I don't care how many degrees they can put behind their name. I don't care how much money they have in the bank or how much prestige they have in the world. If they are not of the spirit of truth, I'm not interested in listening to them because it will affect me in a negative way. That environment's important. You better set your environment. Don't you let somebody else set it. You set the environment of what you'll listen to and what you won't listen to, what you subject yourself to. You understand? And I'm becoming more and more selective in what I will even listen to or read, let alone watch. Because there's so many lies out there to take you in the wrong direction. I have heard a lot of lying preachers. And I'll tell you what, you better know the Word of God so you don't get deceived.
Verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie.
Now, for what cause? They didn't accept Jesus Christ. They didn't love truth. They wouldn't embrace truth. All right? You don't embrace truth? You don't want to know truth? God says, all right, I'll let you believe a lie. You go right back to Romans, the first chapter, and it says that, you know, creation tells you there is a God.
Mm-hmm.
There is not a person on the planet that can, at gut level, say that there's not a supreme being, a higher power than you. All you have to do is look around you and know that the somebody bigger than you are brought all this into existence. And you have to make yourself believe a Big Bang or an evolution. You have to make yourself believe that, because at gut level you won't believe that. Inside you, you know better. But if you start playing that game, then it's like in Romans. They denied God. He says, all right, I'll just turn you over to yourself. If you want to be deceived, then I'll let you live out your deception till it destroys you. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going on in the world today. These guys are flaunting it. These gals are flaunting all this stuff. But what's happening? They're self-destructing, and they don't even know it. Why? God just turned them over to themselves, and so they're deceived. They are not capable of knowing truth. That's a dangerous thing when God withdraws from you. Mm. You're without hope.
Mm-hmm.
We'd better receive and embrace the salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, not reject the Lord, not reject the knowledge of the Word or the Holy Spirit.
Verse 11, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Now, here again, I'm going to change some words here. I'm going to give you the Greek word. That they all might be condemned,
mm-hmm,
who did not believe the truth, not pleasure, but who approved or sanctioned this stuff that's going on, this unrighteousness. Not that they just took pleasure in it. They approved of it and sanctioned it. You know what they're doing today? They're passing laws.
Mm-hmm.
They're passing laws in Congress, sanctioning perversity and ungodliness.
Mm-hmm.
Not just taking pleasure in it.
But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation.
Now, that word bound there is actually, if you look at the definition, but we are obligated,
mm-hmm,
to give thanks always to God for you. And Paul said, I'm looking at you, I'm looking at your life, man, I'm under obligation to give thanks to God for you. Because God has chosen you from the beginning, and you've received this salvation through the purification of your spirit. Now look at this, you believe in truth. You believe in the truth. You're not believing the lies. You're not believing your stuff around. You believe in the truth, and you're getting persecuted for what you believe. But you're staying true to your belief. I'm under obligation to thank God for you. I thank God for the people who stand for the truth. And I'm not ashamed to be identified with them. Amen.
Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
I like it. Paul says that you've been called by our gospel. In other words, we came to you, we preached the good news, inviting you to the Lord, and you accepted the invitation, and you've acquired the salvation. And he talks about actually that word obtaining is acquiring of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ by our gospel to the acquiring of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our gospel, you receive Jesus. You receive Jesus. You think about it. We all have a responsibility to tell people the truth to keep them from being condemned forever. How can they hear if somebody doesn't proclaim the message?
Mm-hmm.
And you sure can't believe what you haven't heard. And so we all have an obligation. This is not talking about just standing behind a podium or getting up on a platform. Every one of us have a testimony. The madman of Gadara, Jesus said, go tell people what the Lord's done for you, what great things the Lord's done for you. We all have that obligation. We all have opportunity to tell people things about the Lord. and how the Lord has brought us along, and how the Lord's had mercy on us, and how the grace of God has saved us and delivered us from all kinds of things. And so our boasting is in the Lord. Good news, God loves you. It doesn't matter where you've been and what you've done. What matters is you accepting Jesus Christ, who will change your life and get you renewed to where you forget the past and you have no desire to do the things of the past. But your life is totally turned around. That's what the gospel will do for you.
Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle.
Okay, here again we're going to change a couple things here. Okay. Therefore, brethren, persevere and hold the precepts that you've been taught, whether by word or our epistles. Now, the reason I use the word precepts is because people can get hung up on that word tradition. And I'm going to tell you, much of the tradition that people know is not godly. It's religious tradition. We need to know the instructions of God and hold on to the precepts of God to where that becomes a way of life to us. You follow me? And not just following the traditions of men. Traditions of men will make God's word ineffective in your life. But when you get the instructions of God, the precepts of God, then it'll bring about a change in your life, a very positive change that's pleasing to the Lord.
Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace.
Go ahead and read 17.
Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work.
Now note what he says about the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, God, even our Father. He's loved us.
Mm-hmm.
He's given us everlasting consolation. You understand? I have an eternal consolation.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Christ Jesus and a good hope. And it came by the grace of God, not by merit of any sort. Now, he said, comfort your hearts. That ought to be enough to bring you comfort. God loves you.
Mm-hmm.
God is consoling us. I mean, God's here and he's writing this to people who are undergoing persecution for their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand? But he said, God loves you. God loves you. Don't you believe any lie. God loves you. And I'm telling you, so many people say, well, if God loved me, why am I going through this? Well, a lot of what you're going through is because of your dumb decisions. And some of the things, it's just the word of God testing you, like it did Joseph. God gives you a word, and then what happens? Persecution comes for the word's sake, trying to steal the word out of you. Go back and read the fourth chapter of Mark and read those parables and see what happens. And he tells you the fowl of the air is the devil. What's he there for? He's trying to get the word. He'll try to get it before it takes root. And even if it goes in and starts to grow and you haven't prepared your heart, then when the heat's on, you let it go. He's still in the Word. He's still in the Word. He's still in the Word. But I know this. I know God loves me. And I know that God has proven more times than I can count His love for me. And God has brought great consolation in my life. Comforting. Encouraging. Right in the middle of adverse things. You understand? When you think it looks like nobody in the world cares for you, God just embraces you and lets you know that I'm your friend. You stand with the truth. I'm your friend. I will never leave you and I won't forsake you. Don't you leave me or forsake me. You stay with the truth. And he says, you know, we should take comfort in our hearts and be established, what? In every good word and good work. Every good word and good work. What would that be? The good word is going to be coming from God, and the good work is going to be doing what the word is telling us to do. It's a corresponding action to the word. You follow me? Now, with those things being said, what we've read so far is telling us about the Antichrist, but not to make you afraid of the Antichrist. You're restraining him from being revealed right now. Keep restraining. Keep restraining. Keep restraining. And when the Lord says it's time to go, we'll go with the Lord, and we won't have to worry about the deceptions and the delusions and all these other things of the Antichrist. You with me? Keep your mind on God. People today are trying to look at the end of the world and all these events and all this type stuff. It's a waste of time. You can't know it. It'll happen God's way, God's time. What we need to do is live today, today. And then when tomorrow comes, we'll live that day today. Amen? All right, my time's up. We'll stop here and we'll finish this up in our next session, I suppose. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, you enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. Let's get serious about God, about Jesus, about truth.